days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Right, we're up and running.
We're up and running. How's it going? Oh, another weekend rolls around. And today, ladies and gentlemen, you want to see the stage of us. We are... Ladies and gentlemen, as we speak, I was going to lie and say we're already in tuxedos. We're not in tuxedos. We're about to head off to the Radio Awards.
Woo!
The International Quasi-National Semi-Regional Radio Awards of all of Ireland,
yeah.
Some of Ireland, most of Ireland, in Kilkenny in the Lyrath Hotel tonight in our finery. Oh my God, you want to see us?
We're going to look great.
We're going to look fantastic.
Yeah. I always find it's best to look well when you're doing that pretending you're happy for somebody else look. You have to, you know what I mean? It makes it easier when you're dressed well to do that sort of like to pretend you're happy for somebody who actually won one.
Well, I never pretend I'm happy for them, but I do the whole I'll pretend I'm not stung.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Ah, well, I practice that. Ah, well, what can you do? Slow clap. Just kind of didn't think it'd be them face.
Yeah.
That's the face you get away with, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's them. It's like, you know, oh, I didn't think it would be me.
Yeah.
But them, that's right. The face you need to pull off, you know.
Because there has been a few. Because we are quite, you know, we are, well, pretty well versed in losing awards.
Oh, my God, I'm sick to me shite. I've lost so many awards this year. So
it's
many.
Kind of, we are sort of used to it. But the thing about it is that there are still times, even though you're used to losing, as PJ said, you see who won it and you go, what? Really?
You'd be there going,
seriously?
He can't even speak. I met him outside. You want to hear him? Unbelievable,
So there is that.
Couldn't string a sentence together. Who's going? I was walking. No, that's what people say about me. But you know, that's the thing, yeah.
Because the other thing that always happens with these things as well is that when you don't get one, you go, look, to be honest with you, awards, they're just, you know, look, it's just an industry thing. You know, it's all about the listeners. That's what we say. It's all about the listeners. Until you win one. And then you go, yeah, check that out.
Stick
the rest
that
of you.
Up your onion
best
hole.
Best one in the country.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, look at you. What was that, Pat Kelly? What'd you say? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Imagine doing
look,
that.
We are total hypocrites. So I don't mind admitting that. We are total hypocrites.
Well, I would love to do that. Just one time. Just one time I'd love to win that. Jim's won stuff. I've never won anything. Well,
You have won. You've won breakfast show awards.
Ah, it doesn't count.
Two of them in a row.
It doesn't count. You were on it. I wanted to win something for myself. You know, even tonight, it won't count.
I'll tell you something. Do you know what happened? If by some bizarre miracle we were to win something, honest to God, I'd be, you know, the way there's that little moment of like, you know, people applaud or whatever, you know, or people at the table go, oh my God, it's great, it's great. I tell you, I'd be about halfway out of my chair and PJ would be already on the stage and he'd literally have collected it and walked off before I got there.
I'd have broke it so he couldn't get his picture with it. I can finally get my picture taken with one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's gas, though, you know, because winning things is a strange thing, right? You know, because no matter what, even if you have nothing to do with the winning process, you still feel like you did, you know?
Right.
Like, even if you win a game of blackjack or you think, wow, I did it. No, not that it was just a complete fluke, you know?
Oh, right, okay.
Or even if you win a bowl of sweets or a raffle in a pub or something, you always think, what? I just had a feel. Do you ever say, I don't know. I was like, I was there number 3 or number 5. I says, fuck it, I gotta go number 5. I had a feeling.
I've never had that feeling.
Have you not? Never.
Have you honestly ever had a feeling you were going to win something? Regardless of whether you did or you didn't.
Ah, yeah, I did, yeah. No, I mostly didn't win.
Even though you had the feeling you were going to win?
Yeah. Mostly,
yeah.
Although I won a bottle of wine there a few months back. No, it wasn't a few months back. It was Christmas last year. Actually, it was Christmas the year before that. But, you know, there you go.
Wow, you held that feeling well.
See?
You hung on to it.
I like to win, Jim. Yeah. And then when you're watching people win stuff, it's like that you kind of go, you ever place a bet and on the football match, right? You go 2-0, Arsenal, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes 3-0. And you go, oh, I knew it was going to be 3-0. But I didn't. Because I literally bet 2-0. You know that way?
And actually, the football is the worst. You ever, like... Because that happens. I'm sure every football fan has done that where you have, I don't know, you feel good just on a day. You think, I think we're going to do these today.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do. And then you're 4-0 down after about 15 minutes and you go, I don't know what I was feeling.
But
it must have been indigestion or something.
Worse than that, I literally go, I knew it. I knew we were going to get hammered. They were like, but you said we're going to win. Ah, that was only a brief sensation of hope.
Yeah.
Deep down, I knew, you know. I knew it, you know. Or you see someone else win. Or you hear it on our quiz all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it on our quiz. We play a game. What, you know, the question might be, what is a baguette? And your man go, a fish. And he'll go, no, it's bread. And he'll go, I fucking knew it. You didn't, though. Because if you knew it, you would have said it, wouldn't you?
You'd have said something.
You would have said it. No, you went with fish because you thought it was a fish. You didn't just go fish because you have Tourette's and you can't, and you say fish all the time. You said fish because that's what you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know. And then when you see, like, we had a competition here very recently, right? It was gas. And this is where I'm going to do it. We were giving away a Vespa in the station. Only last week, we were giving away a Vespa. And it was a 125 Vespa. And, you know, we had 10 people in. It could have been any one of these 10 people that won the Vespa. And there was one man who was 6'6" or something. And I thought to myself, he's going to win the Vespa.
Yeah, and he did.
And he did win the Vespa.
Wow.
But then, is that retrospective?
And get a bet on.
And you couldn't get a bet on. Paddy Power rang him. They says, but it is,
man.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? The way you think you're actually influencing the results of stuff around you.
Yeah.
You know, like Jim last night, where United were playing. And it was 2-0 up, and his missus says, do you want to watch the match? He says, I won't watch the match, because you know what will happen?
When
if
I turn
watch
it on,
it, they'll
go,
lose.
Yeah.
But they didn't win anyway. And Jim went to bed, so he may as well have stayed up and been miserable.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. But the word, you know, the other thing about any of those kind of awards or, you know, this kind of stuff, right, is as well is that, you know, the way when you decide, right, I'm not going to, look, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Don't make it all about, you know, you don't want to be massively disappointed when you lose.
Don't get hyped up. Because you're trying to protect yourself from inevitable disappointment.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to go, I'm going to eat my dinner, have a few jars.
Make the most of it.
Make the most of it. Have a decent night. Forget about everything else. And then what happens? Your thing comes around. And all of a sudden,
edge
you're like,
your seat.
Oh, Jesus, no. Oh, whole people aren't looking at me now.
And everyone starts looking at you.
Yeah.
And they give you the thumbs up and all.
Yeah, nodding at you, winking at you, and you're like, fuck off.
And you know, someone beside you goes, if you don't win, it's a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
And you don't. And they go, it's a load of bollocks. And you're like, it's not though, is it? You're a load of bollocks. You shouldn't have looked at me.
Yeah,
you should have left me alone.
Everything about it is just...
You should have left me alone.
Yeah. It's those things. I suppose, look, to be honest with you, it's a bit like, remember when you did stand-up, right?
Yeah.
And you were a hugely... All joking aside, you were a genuinely hugely successful stand-up.
I did all right.
Right. And yet, as you said yourself, you were shitting before you went on every night. And you were literally standing at the side of a stage, a sold-out theatre, standing at the side of a stage, going, hi, I wish this was... I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to go home. Stop. Just tell. Give them the money back. Give them the money back.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
It's going to be terrible.
Oh, my God. I can't... Why did I choose this job? Why didn't I stick at the electrics?
Yeah, that's it.
It's mad, isn't it?
And I'll tell you what made me feel better, because this is the thing. Blunt, harsh truths in moments like that actually make you feel better, right?
Do they?
They do. So I would, for years, and I mean in excess of 20 years, I was going through that, and people beside me were trying to calm me down, saying, listen, you're really good at this, you know, don't worry about it. Look at previous history that brought you to this point. It's never gone wrong. It always goes well. You know, go on there. Just remember, this is what you've done. There's no reason for this to suddenly turn to fail. But one day, I was like, why am I doing this? And my friend Pat just says, because you can't do anything else. Like, this is all you got. And I was like, actually, that's true.
Suddenly there was no point in getting all shitty.
And suddenly I was there, well, this is fucking it then. Yeah, that's it. You're right. There's no point in being nervous.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did that side of it, because when you were doing the first bit of that about, you know, look at to your past, look at to what, you know, what's brought you all these
your example,
of, yeah. I was thinking, that's really not helping for tonight, because we keep losing.
Yes, so there you go.
So look to your past.
So there you go. What have I done up until this point? I've lost things.
So we could keep that successful run of losses going. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Right, brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We're not going to suddenly start winning now, are we?
It's a fair point, yeah.
And if you think of it that way...
Realism is good,
If you think about it that way, you probably won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, if you think, look, I've been around for 30 years, I'm suddenly going to start being the winner.
And you know, the other thing that's... You know the way... lots of people do this when they... Initially, because the way they do it, everybody throws their hat in the ring or whatever, and there's a shortlist created, and then they choose winners. But anyway, so normally what happens is when you're on the shortlist... You get all these. It's just great to be nominated. It's just great to be, you know.
But it's not.
It's shit
to be nominated.
I literally, because
it's better to not
that
be
puts
nominated.
You on the edges. Whereas if you weren't nominated, you go, oh, I'm gonna be shite now. I'm not even going.
Yeah, I'm not doing. It's fine. Yeah, it could be. The event could be over 3 weeks, and someone say that's who won. You go, oh, did they?
Yeah, I wouldn't care about
and
that.
And then you forget immediately. That's the truth.
You're right. It's putting you in the frame. Mean, oh yeah. Mm. Because you see, if you weren't nominated, somehow weirdly, it's like you can't lose.
We don't care.
But if you are nominated, and then
you can't lose, if you don't play.
You inevitably don't win.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've lost.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, fucking leave me alone. Leave me alone. Like,
do you get the feeling we weren't cut out to be winners in life?
I tell you, and then you get snobby, right? Here's what happens at award ceremonies as well. You only ever see the highlights on TV, but you know you turn up and you're nominated. Best entertainer or lifetime achievement or greatest newcomer or, you know, best breakfast, all these awards people get. And then you're sitting there on the night and then there's an award up and the award for best voice in an ad about cheese. And you're like, oh, fuck off. You get weirdly snobby, don't you? You get weirdly snobby about these things.
Oh, absolutely.
Things.
You're kind of thinking to yourself, what sort of an award is that?
Yeah, when my book got nominated for an award, it was up for best non-fiction. I was like, well, here we go. And we were on after cookbooks. I was there, fucking pictures of burgers. I worked me whole off for this book and there's some lad with a picture of a croissant.
Yeah. And I literally went into an institution just to make this book entertaining.
Who let him in with his croissants and his burgers? Fuck off.
It's like what we said before about people who write kids' books.
Yeah.
And it's like there's two words and a big picture on a page.
Yeah.
And there's only six pages.
You didn't even do the picture. You didn't even do the picture. The artist did the picture. You wrote, Big Tom likes kites. Fuck off.
Yeah, you're right. And then they win. And the children's book of the year.
You're like, you're shit. You know. That's terrible, you know. And that's not fair because I know that's not real. People who do cookbooks and children's books, they put loads of effort in.
Yeah.
But in the heat of the moment, you become a little bit up your own bottom, I think.
Well, no, I think you're entitled.
I think a lot of people are entitled
to be a little bit, you know, bitter and twisted.
I'm very bitter. McCabe won a stand-up award. I'm very bitter over that.
It wasn't a stand-up award. It was a show. It was a radio show award. You were involved in it.
It wasn't. You did stand-up. The award literally has Jim Stands Up written on it. Jim Stands Up.
Tell you something.
They hung it over my desk in work. Jim Stands Up. Put it over PJ's desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never won an award for stand-up.
I don't know whose idea that was, actually.
It was Mike, the last fella who was here.
Ah, yeah.
He was a flute. He ended up working for the guards. He's used to making people feel bad.
So that's the frame of mind, basically.
The guards are perfect for him.
We're heading to this glittering gala, this celebration of all that is great in the industry of radio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You try, and we're already doing the whole make the most of it. And as Jim says, as soon as you have to make the most of it, you know you're...
That's it, yeah. You've made an error judgment there. Error judgment.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already...
Especially when you find... You know the way we'll go down and you know there'll be people who will win. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely,
And I don't know what it is. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say the word cheating. Certainly not. But you know there's people who... they just win every blooming year. There's no competition or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it's weird.
And there I am in ill-fitting borrowed trousers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone else's... I don't even have my own trousers on.
Yeah.
And you're doing the whole, well, I better give them back. And someone will say, how'd you get on? And I'll go, well, Jim won something.
Well, look, I didn't spill anything on my trousers.
I didn't spill anything on your trousers.
I'm taking that as a win.
So I'm taking that as a win. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so... Anyway, there you go.
By the way, you do realise that if by some ridiculous miracle, you know, somebody makes a mistake and we end up with an award.
Yeah.
That next week's podcast.
We'll just delete this one.
Exactly.
We'll do another one. Only the best win awards.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
PJ's just said something to me, just casually, literally before we put the faders up to speak, which has thrown me because, you know, the way I do confess to being a bit of a gadget kind. I don't get as many gadgets as I would like to have.
No.
Yvonne does put the reins on. No, you're not getting one of them.
Well, we might be able to talk around on this. The new middle class must have, and is the double dishwasher.
What?
Yes, the double dishwasher. For those that have kitchens with enough space, the new middle class must have is the two dishwashers. You have one running while the other, like, you basically use them like a washing machine and a tumble dryer, you know. One is running while one is dripping, and you always have clean plates ready to go, sparkling, maybe constantly warm plates. Who knows when you have the...
How big a family do you need to have two dishwashers?
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I don't understand one, and I'll be honest with you.
That's true,
I've never known something as useless as a flipping dishwasher. A press for dirty dishes. Where's all the dishes? Oh, they're in the filth box. You know, I've never understood a dishwasher.
You don't mind having to wash, you know, like beans and all off plates.
How quick it is
stuff.
When it's still wet. How quick it is to just rinse it.
Stuffing your hands in and everything. All the mashed potato and everything. No.
See, I never understand the dishwasher. I just think it's
And do you wear your rubber gloves and all when you do your...
I don't, no.
You
I
just
don't.
Have asbestos hands. So
no
you can,
asbestos.
They can be, the water can be hot enough
it's
to
food.
Scald the pot.
Oh, yeah, they're flipping stuff. Seconds before. Anyway, different argument.
Anyway, yeah.
But the middle class must
why,
have.
Why are they claiming you need a second one?
Well, they're just saying it's one of those luxuries in life. So I guess it's because people like, instead of being like me and saying, actually, all we're doing is storing a press full of dirty old crap. They now say, well, we can have one that's full of dirty old crap and the other one will be full of clean stuff we just couldn't be bothered putting away. It's a luxurious thing, you know.
But that's now, even for me now, even as, you know, even if I was to indulge my gadget fiend.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't stretch to a second dishwasher now.
Well, then I have a question for you.
Right.
Because... one of these guys, these home decor people, has says, never mind the middle class must have. Focus on the working class must have.
Okay,
right?
Well,
and this is something I think makes an awful lot of sense for everyone, not just working class people. Forget the double dishwasher. The double toaster. And when you think about it, everybody needs two toasters. So,
really?
Everybody needs two toasters.
Wow.
When have you ever just had two slices of toast? Or when you're making toast for someone else, when do they just want one? You always end up waiting for a slice of toast or two slices of toast.
I have to confess, I haven't encountered that particular problem thus far.
Shut your hole!
Everybody. Brilliant rebuttal there from Mr. Galler to a well-made point. Shut your... well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you more than a two slicer yourself?
I am a two slicer.
Yeah, I'm a two slicer.
Yeah, so then when
but
I Yvonne's say,
often a one slicer.
And so that's the problem.
We've a four thing toaster. You know, like there's four slots in our. That's hardly unusual, man.
Toast.
It's hardly unusual to have
a four. Well, excuse me.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
If you're listening to us at home at the moment and you're in the middle of your morning routine, time is obviously of the essence, right? Mornings do tend to be a bit frenetic, a bit chaotic, you know what I mean? As I say, time is of the essence. But a little bit of advice here. You might think, well, we're all for efficiencies and multitasking and everything, but a little bit of advice here from the professionals.
Honest to God, I have no idea some things exist. Sometimes I feel like I'm not living in the same planet as other people. But
funnily enough, a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah, understandably. But a dentist has warned, please stop brushing your teeth while you're in the shower. Says it's really not good for hygiene.
Wow.
And not only is it not good for hygiene, they says it's also very dangerous that toothpaste residue is more slippy than soap or whatever. This is the most ridiculous warning. And you could slip and cause yourself
Is
an
it
injury.
Hygiene for your teeth or hygiene for the rest of you?
Hygiene for your teeth, yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Hot water in the shower can damage your toothbrush and soften your bristles. I would hope to be. The whole reason I'm in the shower is to get soft with my bristles. And it says it can
soften. If anybody needs their bristles soft and
get into
you.
The shower. Yeah, too, right.
I didn't know. I'm like you now. I didn't know this was the thing.
Does that?
I've never ventured into the idea of brushing my teeth in the shower.
Who on earth is getting into a shower and brushing their teeth? Who is doing that?
Well, let's find out.
Where are you spitting and collecting the water?
087-1818-100. Just curious. Just, you know, in case there are any shower teeth cleaners. Well, I don't know. Whatever. I don't even know what to call them.
But it's
so strange.
What happens in the shower? I've seen people shaving in the shower, which I think is a bit bananas too. I'll be honest with you. I do think that's a bit mad. I've seen people in gyms showering and all, and they're shaving themselves, which you think, that's where you're going to put your bristles.
Yeah, but
weird.
Without a mirror, like.
Yeah.
Fair play.
It happens all the time. And then I've seen people, and deny it all you like, but every one of you dirty individual articles has done a wee in the shower at least once. Every one of you. And now people are brushing their teeth in the shower. What? People going to have coffee in the shower?
Sean's one of them. Always brush my teeth in the shower in the morning before work. Shower after work. Teeth in the shower and before bed. Wow.
I can't.
Somebody else saying kill two birds once with one shower. I don't know if that's meant to be somewhat.
What else is happening
Brian
in the shower that we don't know
so
about?
So we have Brian and Sean who do it.
What is going on in the showers of Ireland? I'm disgusted. I can't get my head around it. You get into the shower, then what are you doing? Going through your day, looking at the phone through the window, trying to sort out your calendar, eating a sausage roll, having a coffee. What's going on in the shower?
Brian has been on to say, morning lads, as a time saver, I've tried to brush my teeth in the shower sometimes, but I don't think it actually saves any time.
Of course it doesn't, because you're not, it's not like you're using your right hand to do the toothbrush and your left hand to clean your hair.
Not sure I can trust Brian, because he then goes on to say, I have drank my coffee in the shower.
You're a head case and you don't belong in any shower.
Lou says she would prefer to brush her teeth in the shower. I prefer the warm water on my toothbrush.
In your mouth and all. Lukewarm water.
By the way, Brian is confirming he was serious when he said he drank his coffee in the shower. Somebody, let me just see if I can find a name. Always stick your name in it first, folks. Really, it makes life a lot easier and they don't give out to us as much. Anya has said, guilty. Always brush my teeth in the shower.
Well, I hope you know that you've softened your bristles and you're being very unhygienic. Mould and all and everything they're saying.
Is that what they're... oh, my God. Even Northside Tony. Always brush my teeth in the shower because it keeps the sink clean.
Imagine the logic of that now. How will I keep the sink clean from my dirtiness? Well, I think I'll just get into the shower and fill my mouth with foam and spit all over myself.
Somehow his shower is less important to him than his sink.
Yeah. It's no wonder he's finding it harder and harder to find lads to knock a putter around with him.
Wow.
Honest to God.
But I'm with you. It never dawned on me. And I have to say, it does beg the question, you know, where do you draw the line? I never thought we were going to get as far as Brian with having his coffee in the shower. That's just crazy to me now.
There's going to be more now. Wait, you see. There's going to be people who say they've eaten breakfast, filled up their mouths, been in there, like, you know, gave themselves haircuts in the shower. Never give yourself a haircut. But they're going to be saying, like, cutting their nails. Well, you see, made phone calls, like, participated in radio.
I'd be convinced that's happened. I'd be convinced somebody has been on the phone, has answered the phone at the very least while in the shower, or thought of something and phoned somebody from the shower. Mad.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just in the shower. You're going to get that. That's going to be a new trend now when you ring people. Look at me, trying to find the most panicky way out of this conversation.
Niall is another one who says he has drunk coffee in the shower. What is going on?
What do you do? Like, you stick your head out, is it?
Do you just bring the dry coffee granules in, do you? And then leave them under the hot water and have it, like, instantly made for you as well?
Just bring it in a plastic bag with a straw coming out.
Although a few people actually, just off the back of that, sort of slightly separately, like, for example, Isaac, who's back in New Zealand at the moment, says having a beer in the shower would be very run-of-the-mill. Now, not in the morning. Not as part of your morning routine, but just, you know.
Just for something to do.
Before going out, maybe. And somebody else was on saying they stayed in a... Julian was on saying they stayed in a hostel in Australia and there was that was a regular thing, a guy having a beer in the shower. Mind you, in their case, they say it was in the morning. Always drink responsibly, people. And preferably not in the shower.
But the one strange thing. Are you going out tonight? No, I'm just going to run the shower for 3 hours and have a few beers, you know. Just going to...
But anyway,
yourself.
It was Brian who was on about it. And he says, he has the mug of coffee on the windowsill beside the shower. That's part of his morning routine.
So you have to go downstairs in the nip and make the coffee, right? Mm. And then you come up.
As I say, maybe he brings dry granules into the shower.
Just holds them in his hand and lets the water run. Sucks it straight out of his hand.
You see, Brian, you're missing a trick here, right? Because what you should be doing is don't have your coffee in the shower in the mornings. Wait till you get to work. Because this is your way to make your work life easier.
Yeah, be a professional coffee badger. And coffee badger, not badger as in the animal. I didn't even need to explain this. Badging is essentially what you do, right?
Right.
So it's professional slacking. And somebody who reckons they're a really good slacker, or but they don't like the term slacker. Slacker's like an insult. It's an outrageous term.
Okay.
It's rude to say someone who's a slacker is a slacker. You call them a coffee badger. Because there's an art to avoiding work, by all accounts. And, you know, as someone who's managed to avoid work with the skill of a ninja at some times in my life, I kind of understand that. I sympathise. So coffee badging, it's when employees know exactly when to get a coffee and work, that it makes them appear busy, right?
Right.
So, you know, they know exactly the time you turn up and you, like, make yourself a coffee. And as you're making a coffee, you have to proclaim how busy you are. You're like, oh, my God, I haven't even seen you all morning. I'm absolutely up to my eyes, you know. All this kind of stuff.
So you wait maybe till it's till the coffee dock or wherever you get your coffee is busy.
Yeah.
And
or just before you're about to go into a meeting, right?
Right.
Where you know everyone is. And you do the whole, oh, and then you go into the meeting with them. And you say, listen, I'm so sorry. I'm really up to my eyes now. I can only stay for 20 minutes and then, you know, I have to catch up. So you basically have your coffee with them. And then you go, right, look, you're going to have to carry on without me. As you're aware, I'm an extraordinarily busy person. Have to wash my feet in traffic. Have to go home and have two showers. You know.
Right.
And there's a, they reckon there's an art to it.
So you get spotted in the coffee place getting your coffee. That's it.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
actually get spotted doing any work.
No, no, no.
This prevents you having to do the work.
Yeah, so, and good coffee badgers apparently work really well and really hard at not being caught out. So they'll always get a fake IP address, apparently. So that even when they're working at home, you can check them out. If you do their IP address, you know, you sort of try and track it. It looks like they're in the office or it looks like they're in a client's place.
People will go to that level of extreme to dodge work.
I told you
fake
this was...
Fake IP address.
I warned you. This is professional work dodging.
Wow.
This isn't amateur stuff. Not our... They find out, they say, where all the security cameras are in the offices that you not only work in, but the offices you might visit and learn how to get in and out without them. You know, the old style...
Do you
like,
want to be spotted? As in, I can see him on the cameras, he was in work.
Spotted coming in, not spotted going out.
Of course.
To the point that they have baseball hats and all. Like, you know, like you see in those movies.
Oh, my God.
You know, where someone's like, you're getting out with your overcoat and your baseball hat and you stash it in the office and pull it up your jumper then. So you can be, yeah. Oh, this is good. Show your face at least once a day in visible areas. So just make sure you can scour around, get your face onto the cameras and then plan your get out then after your coffee. Keep track of all the office schedules, they say. And always have a pre-prepared book of believable excuses for when the inevitable where were you comes.
This is crazy.
Write the excuses. Spend a day at it. Like, spend one of the days you're supposed to be working pre-preparing excuses for the coming days you're not going to work as well. It's good stuff, right?
It is. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Mm,
good stuff. I didn't think that anybody necessarily took it to those levels of extreme. Because to me, it's starting to sound a little bit like work to avoid work.
Well,
you're getting fake IP addresses, books of excuses, having to manage your, you know, security camera appearances. It sounds like a lot of work.
Nah, it's an ethos.
I mean, all I'm saying, to be fair, is I'm basically giving you credit. Like, you do no work towards doing no work.
And you
have it cracked.
That's a bit harsh. I would literally stay up all night to make a plan if I thought it meant I would get literally nothing done.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With...
Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at...
Now listen, I mean, I know it's seen as a bad thing, right? But let's face it, we all like to indulge in a little bit of gossip. Don't pretend. Everybody turns around and goes, you know, I don't get involved in any of that. I don't get involved. You do.
You do.
Because somebody tells you something and you listen to it.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that's part of it, you know what I mean? You're complicit in it.
Oh, and some people are notorious.
Mm.
Like, you know, we're all complicit to some degree.
Absolutely.
We wish we weren't, but some people are notorious, right? And now, it's so notorious that they're trying to work out how can you be a gossip in the workplace, because I enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
But without seeming like I'm a gossip.
Because that's the thing, you see.
Yeah.
We know people that fit this build. We know people who you'd absolutely 100% say full on gossip.
Yeah, yeah. And the advice has always been just don't be that person.
Exactly.
But now this one psychologist, Tanya Reynolds, she's trying to say, if you like it, you like it. Here's how to do it and just be better liked for it, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, what you do, if you want to be a gossip, and you shouldn't be, I think, but if you want to be a gossip, you have to dress it up as concern.
Right.
Now, this is from a psychologist, right?
Okay.
So instead of saying, like, you know, it's Monday morning in the workplace, right? Hypothetically speaking. Instead of saying, did you see the absolute state of your man yesterday?
Right.
Christ almighty. He is an absolute making a show of himself. You dress up as concern. So you go, my God, I'm a bit worried about him. I'm basically, let's pick a name out of the hat. Jim.
You dug deep into the hat for that name, yeah, there, didn't
I'm
you?
Yeah. I'm a bit worried there about Jim. I swear. I think.
Saw him eating out the bins again.
Do you think it's normal that a man should eat 3 burgers off someone else's plates there? Or do you think. I mean, do you think he was dehydrated or does he always drink like that? You know, that's what they're saying you're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, you might say, Jay, oh my God, Peter's something else, isn't he? Is he okay? I think he might have a deficiency. If you're able to draw 300 cocktail sausages in a half an hour and not share, I'd say there's something wrong with him. Is he okay? Yeah. Has someone asked him if he's okay?
Yeah, he could be lacking in something. You just mean, that might be a craving. Could be a sign of something.
Yeah, you got
maybe. He's not so well, is he?
His posture's awful, isn't he? Looks like a walking prawn. I hope he doesn't have a back injury.
So that's,
like,
so,
that's what you
so
should
do. So you make
do,
it sound as though you just want reassurance that somebody's okay, but you manage to get in all the gossipy, juicy stuff in there.
So you can do that without harming your social standing. You know, that's
right.
What they're saying. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't come off as a gossip. You come off as a concerned citizen.
Come off as a concerned citizen. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, the only thing I have to ask you about, you know, gossip, right? For it to qualify as gossip, does it have to be negative?
Not particularly. I suppose it's just nobody minds you saying good stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know what I mean? Like, it's because, you know, the way, I mean, what's gossiping? Is it, you know?
Well, although you, here's the thing, though.
I'm just curious.
This is another tactic where you could dress things up and say, you know, like, someone might say, I met Peter the other night. He's doing great, isn't he? Oh, he's absolutely, I couldn't believe, he's like, God, we had such a great time together. He had like 2 starters and 4 mains, and then he had my dessert. I was like, you are just such a healthy eater.
Yeah. Oh, he's living his best life.
He's living
his best life. God, I saw him the other day. God, he staggered out of O'Dwyer's
and,
there.
And I
just thought, fair play to you. You know, you're living your best life. Why wouldn't you?
I had so much admiration for him. He couldn't even close his trousers. And he didn't care.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
We often talk about stuff that, you know, people have bucket lists, right? And things that they want to kind of do, and the things you must read before you croak, or the things you must do, you know, places to see, or all this kind of stuff, right? And normally, as I say, they are about, like, in your lifetime or to, you know what I mean, before you leave your mortal coil.
But that's it, isn't it?
There's a different sort of twist on something today.
There is, yeah.
Which, for a lot of people listening, to be fair, it's kind of going to be too late.
Well, like, yeah, well, it is. It's too late for most people listening today. But we often, so are all these lists. We always do them. Things to do before you're 20. Things to do before you're 30. 40 things to do before you're 40. You know, I think we've even done 60 things to do before you're 60. Which is quite a long list. And most of them are fairly dull, right? But we never talk about the young lads. The young ones. The young girls, young boys out there trying to live their formative years. So they ask people for a change. What are the things you have to do, must do's before you're 16?
16.
Yeah, and just give us 10 of them.
We probably should have done this an hour ago while they were potentially, people of that age might still have been in cars en route to schools and things.
Yeah, maybe.
Planning isn't our strong point.
Not really, no. Yeah. Learn to make a plan. That's number one thing to do before you're 16. But some of them bring back great nostalgic memories for me, to be honest, you know.
Oh, so obviously then it's something to do with criminality and stuff, is it?
Just a few of them are like that, you know, but not always. Like,
generally making a nuisance of yourself then, I assume, is the theme, is it?
Well, sometimes, yeah, you'll remember
if it's
this.
Nostalgia for you.
You're an awful man. I was trying to agree with you until you criminalised me completely. Although raiding your parents' drink cabinets is in there, but I will say that. And don't do
actually,
that.
Now
drink,
that I think about
don't
it.
Don't drink at all, kids. We normally say drink responsibly. Don't drink at all.
Our lack of planning worked out because I'm sure a lot on this list, there'll be parents who are going, I certainly do not want my under 16-year-old making this an ambition of theirs.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of them you wouldn't really advise now. Now, some of them are harmless enough, like give someone a Frenchie. You know, learn to give a proper smacker with your tongue. Yeah. You know, you have to do that before you're 16. You know,
rite of passage.
Find a like-minded face and get licking. It's part of growing up. It really is.
Right.
You know, find someone who, you know, and then you have to do the whole learning, try and copy what you see in the telly and everything.
Yeah. Find somebody who'll put up with your terrible efforts.
Terrible efforts, yeah. Getting all toot and licks, and some fellas will be like they're going at a bowl of water and everything, like an old dog. That's one of them. Go and play on a dangerous, disused building site near the home or an old factory,
I mean,
or something.
We did that.
We did do that. Kids,
nobody is allowing their child to do that now.
No.
There's nobody kind of... there's no kid turning around to their parents and going, we're just going to hang out at that disused, derelict site over there by the...
Well, your dad and all say to you, go play on the digger over there. They normally leave the keys under the seat when they go home. You'd have a bit of that, or go and play in the derelict house across the road. And
nobody's getting away with that.
Do it. You just can't. No,
I mean, there's organised play dates and everything now. Imagine having the freedom to go and play in a derelict building site.
But it was the freedom of that. But then no 14-year-old is expected to go out and work or anything either.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Is that, or maybe, you know? So that's different. It also says, and I know this is terrible advice, we're not encouraging people to do it. This is what the list says. Go out and shoplift yourself a chocolate bar at least once, it says. Go on out and get a dodgy whisper.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is what was bringing back the nostalgia for Mr. PJ Gallagher.
Look at you as if you never left two illicit cream eggs in your pocket. Walking around figless in the heyday. Yeah. I know you,
what
Jim.
A shout that would have been.
Yeah.
Are they two illicit cream eggs in your pocket? Or?
Yeah, I tell you, he didn't get the name. Drive by Jimmy for nothing. Walking around, he used to have a sleeve full of double deckers, I heard. Wandering around in the old days. It says, as well, have a fight with your parents and then a half-hearted attempt to leave home. You know, we've all done that before we were 16.
Yeah.
You know, there's consequences. You go, why is there ever any consequences for grown-ups? And I'm leaving. There's your consequence. And then you go down to your mates and go, can I stay here? And he goes, no, my ma's not going to let you stay here. And you go, right then. And you go back to your folks.
I think when I left home, I got the 17A bus.
And where did you get that to?
To my sister's house.
To your sister's house. And she said, go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you did.
Yeah.
He stopped off quickly for a shoplifted cream egg and a play on the building site and then went back to his mum's. And it says, throw up after badly smoking a cigarette at one point. That's always a thing, you know. Everybody, you're rebellious.
Not that you should ever smoke. In case
never do this. No.
Anybody under that age that's considering it, no, do not. You shouldn't be smoking.
Yeah.
Or drinking or any of those kind of things that would force you to throw
never
up.
Never do any of these things. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
despite the fact that this list is literally called the things you must do before you're 16. We, as responsible adults, and people who can potentially be sued are saying, do not do any of those things.
Yeah, don't you. Yeah. And also, one of them on the list is do a prank phone call on your local radio show or radio program. So we obviously don't want people to do those things.
No, although because you used to do them for a living.
It's true, yeah.
You used to do them as part of your job.
Yeah, that's true. Remember, and even ringing radio stations, trying to get on the air and all.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, what's your name? Mr. Mr. Balls. Mr. Balls. And you're trying to win the car. Yes. What age are you? 57. So Mr. Balls.
Yeah. You don't sound 57. Yeah. I'm very young for my age.
Yeah, and what's your first name, Mr. Balls? Mr. Very Big. You're not getting on the radio because of kids.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.